Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I got that real good, feel good stuff up under the seat of my big black jacked up truck. Rolling on 35s, pretty girl by my side. You got that sun.
Understand what they're trying to do in the Florida House. They put out a bunch of proposals. They're all milk toast. There's not one proposal that people would get excited about. Not one. So they're total half measures, which is not what people are asking for. People want to be bold. So just that right there is a problem. But what they say is, no, we're just going to put it all, let the people decide. We'll put five on the ballot and let the people decide. If they do that, first of all, the Senate's not going to do that. But if that were to be done, that is a way you kill any type of getting property tax reform. Because different voters are going to read different things, and none of them are going to end up getting 60%.
Yeah, I completely agree with the governor about this. The House idea that they seem to be floating of putting five or six different ballot initiatives related to certain slices or approaches to the property tax reform issue is a recipe for disaster. And more likely than not would just mean that they all fail for confusion's sake. So I actually agree with him about that, that, you know, what you really need to do is have just the one.
Absolutely. 100%. You have to have one amendment. It's got to be very clearly written and give people a chance to vote for it. What you don't do is put five on there that, first of all, people probably, because they're going to be written in ways that are not going to be clear. And so there's going to create confusion on the ballot. You want to be able to say, you know, vote yes on one or two, whatever number it is, you know, yes, yes, yes on that. That's what you have to do. So you only can do one.
So I totally agree. And it needs to be clear. And I actually agree with the governor that if we're going to do this, and if you've listened to the show for any period of time, then you know that I hate property taxes. I think they are philosophically wicked. You cannot justify the idea that you have to continually pay rent to the government to just own the thing that you bought. That makes no sense to me. There are very few forms of taxation that I think are philosophically justified. Sales tax is one of them. Service tax, you know, use taxes all actually make sense to me. But property tax is one of the, like, you cannot justify it philosophically. But, okay, so if we get rid of it, though, we've become dependent on it, you know, and it's a big source of income for local governments. How do you replace that revenue? Well, you have to replace it with something else. And so the proposal needs to be, here's what we're getting rid of. Here's what we're implementing instead. And some kind of an increase in sales tax. You know, let your local government set a higher sales tax. That's the only real plausible alternative, in my opinion. But yeah, make it real clear that what this does is it completely wipes out all homestead property taxes for not the school board stuff, which is, by the way, that's the proposal. It's not wiping it all out. It's wiping out only the county version or the city version. It doesn't have any effect on the school board. None of the proposals affect the school board, which I think, frankly, is a problem. Not because I don't want to see the schools not have their money, but because, you know, if property taxes are unjustifiable, then property taxes are unjustifiable. And, you know, it doesn't matter where the money goes in the end. If you can't justify the taking of it in the first place, then you can't justify the thing. But nobody's proposing that, so here we go. They're also nobody's really proposing getting rid of, commercial property tax or, you know, non-homesteaded property tax, which is the same problem in a different form. Why should you lose the building you own just because you don't live in it? Because you didn't pay the taxes. Anyway, so put one on there, make it bold, dramatic, you know, increase your exemption by $100,000 this year, $200,000 again next year until you get to $1 million in all homesteaded properties or $500,000 all homesteaded properties don't pay any property tax. However, make it simple, make it clear, and then come up with an alternate funding source. Of course, I agree with him about that.
But when I see people, politicians rolling out, we're going to put five proposals on, it offends me. Because they think you're stupid enough for them to tell you, oh, no, we're supportive of you. We put it up. We put stuff on the ballot. We tried. They can't think you're that stupid, right? They physically can't. So it offends me that they think somehow they could get away with this by doing it. So you do one proposal, right? One proposal.
So I don't know that it's accurate to say they're trying to make it fail. This is a subterfuge, or that they think you're so stupid you won't realize that this is what they're trying to do. But if that is what's going on, then certainly they're insulting, you know, the voters by A, trying to do something they're not capable of doing, and then B, pretending that it was all meant in genuine interest in solving the property tax issue. Of course, the governor is also insulting you by saying that you're too dumb to figure out five propositions. That's an insult. He's saying that we as voters can't figure out five. I happen to agree with that assessment. So if you want to say I'm insulting the average voter, so be it. I've seen what's happened in the past where we had just tax issues and how they would interact with each other. And people were like, I don't understand if I pick this and I don't pick that. And yeah, exactly. That's the problem. It's too unclear. But here's the one thing. Okay. What the other side is saying, Danny Perez et al., Speaker of the House, what they're saying is, okay, fine, bro. Where's your plan? Because if the objection is our proposal is terrible, well, you propose something. Let's talk about your alternative, which he has not done. And he might say, well, you're the legislators. Yeah, but if you're going to rip what we have proposed, then maybe you can do better. Show us the better thing. Come up with it. Give us an alternative. And, I mean, that's a fair request for them. 716 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
He told me to remind you about something.
Oh, yeah, when you're done.
Okay. All right, let's see here. Avalon Boulevard southbound as you're approaching I-10 to get on the westbound ramp. There was an earlier accident that took out the traffic light controller, so the traffic light is not working. So just be advised of that. Highway 29 southbound just south of 10 Mile Road headed toward 9 Mile Road, seeing some minor delays. And I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest, just some minor delays through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
All right, John, I'm going to ruin your day. Are you ready for it?
No.
Okay, you live in Milton.
Yes.
So you take Highway 90 most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you can always go Avalon to I-10, but, you take Highway 90. I haven't driven the bridge in a couple of months, so you're going to have to tell
it's
me.
It's beautiful.
Is the new bridge without any of the construction and the closures and the shifts and all that, is it done? It's open?
It's done.
Okay.
It's open.
Yeah, but.
Don't know.
Okay,
no,
but no, I'm gonna force you to think your way through to this one, though. They've been doing all kinds of construction. What does that mean for the road surface?
It's going to be different, uneven.
And the road surface is not the way it should be for FDOT standards. So what are they going to do?
No.
Yeah. FDOT has sent out mailers, or they are sending them out. The US 90 resurfacing project. Oh. No start date named. Let's just imagine, this year, they say late 2025. And it's going to go from Woodbine Road to the Escambia River.
No.
Yeah. The whole thing. Because the Escambia River is the last thing you pass, go over until you get to land in Escambia County.
We just got out of the construction zone.
Trust
me,
I know.
Man, it's like smooth sailing.
I saw this and I thought, okay, pardon my language, you bastards.
Man, we just got done.
I felt so bad because, it's not a road I drive all the time, but, oh, man, it was rough to drive. And I thought, oh, all the people from Milton are so, like, Pace, P. Ridge. Everybody has been like, oh, hallelujah, finally. And then, guess what? And but, no, there's good news. It'll be done
28
early 2027, which probably means 2028.
Yeah, let's build it in there.
So I'm so sorry. Don't shoot the messenger. It's not my fault. I'm preparing you for the pain day when this comes. Somebody says, is the resurfacing going to include speed bump installation? You remember that April Fool's Day post I did years ago about putting 300 speed humps on the 3 Mile Bridge?
Yes.
That's funny. Well done, sir. Well done. Let's see. Where are we? Oh, if you need any kind of video production done, this, of course, Pelican Drones, the name means, you think about them doing aerial photography and video and, going around the outside of your house or looking over a project or, whatever. I mean, they work with all kinds of clients from individual homeowners to businesses to real estate developers for the subdivision or, they work with FDOT and Portofino and Visit Alabama and Innisfree and FPL or just individuals. But it's not just drones. It's ground-based footage, walking footage, whatever the case may be. If it involves video, call Pelican Drones. They can take care of you for that. They produce it. They can produce it in different lengths for you for different formats, different platforms, whatever you want to accomplish. And also, you own it when they're done. And you can buy their services by the hour, by the half day, by the full day, whatever it is. You know, very, very easy to work with. Fantastic local company. You know, big fans of them. PelicanDrones.com for more information. 720 on News Radio 92.3. What did the governor yesterday have to say about the H-1B visas and about the Hope Florida Foundation scandal grand jury investigation? I'll tell you about that coming up next.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Learning how to deal with criticism is a major part of life for every person. The 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, helped shed some light on dealing with critics when he said the following, and I quote, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who, at best, knows in the end the triumph of great achievement, and who, at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." Ladies and gentlemen, critics come and go, but I encourage you to continue to dare greatly.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 30, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We are almost out of time, so I will instead ask each candidate to sum up in a single word the best argument for his candidacy. Governor Bush?
Strategery.
To make sure our citizens here in Florida are first in line for job opportunities. And if there's things that the universities need that somehow they just can't find in Florida, to me, of all employers, they are the ones that would be most responsible for why they can't find what they need. I mean, we're churning out a lot of people. This should not be that difficult to do.
Yeah, the governor yesterday saying that we don't need to have any of these fuzzy furriners working in our universities because we should be able to be sorry, I do get Carl on the brain from Caddyshack whenever somebody uses the word foreigner. But we should be able to hire Americans, Floridians. We have this great university system. I mean, you know, professors come out of the universities. We have good universities. Why do we need to go to India or China or Malaysia or Peru or wherever to find the people who are going to teach our people the stuff? Because we're producing those intellectuals. He's got a point, although I will say that sometimes, you know, better minds come from all over the place. You know, they might come from Montana or, you know, even Chicago, let alone from Columbia. But the, you know, I generally get where he's coming from on this and the idea that, well, we're making them, and if you're not making them, isn't that your problem? Like, that kind of proves that you're not doing it right, and maybe we need to look at that. I did mention that the governor addressed at great length the Hope Florida Foundation scandal yesterday. He was asked in the beginning of the press conference. It's really hard to hear the question, but the question is basically, I'll kind of translate as we're going.
Do we got any questions back there?
Governor, you talked today about handling of funds.
You talked about the handling of funds. What about the grand jury for Hope Florida Foundation? Do you have any comment about that?
Nothing to comment on. Yep.
next. Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, nothing, no indictments yet. No true bill either yet. And you know, it's funny. I was talking about this with somebody yesterday, and they said, "Is this going to affect him?" Like, I don't think it. It doesn't really touch him or Casey, even though she was over the Hope Florida Foundation, because they're over the Hope Florida program, because it's the foundation and the side funneling of money that nobody knew about until Alex Andrade's committee exposed it. Well, I mean, you know, Uthmeyer knew about it because he was involved in arranging that, apparently, or allegedly. And then it wound up in the two PACs that, you know, he was overseeing. And then, of course, he becomes attorney general after that. So, you know, there's a lot of game left here, but the grand jury has been impaneled, and you're not allowed to talk about it if you go testify before them. So we'll never know what's happening until after we get either an indictment or a no true bill. But no comment. Sometimes the less you say, the more you say. Right? They say less is more, maybe unintentionally sometimes. You didn't hear him dismissing it and waving it off as being a giant nothing burger like he has done before. This is just political, these Democrats. You know, this is the Miami Herald and the Tallahassee Times coming to get me. That's all it is. The grand jury, sir. It's not that anymore. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
I like that. All right, Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, the westbound ramp. Traffic is really backed up due to an earlier accident that took out a red light controller. So the red light in that right there at Avalon and I-10 westbound is out, so just be aware of that. Also, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, CNR normal construction congestion delays. And Highway 29 southbound, starting around 10 Mile, going down to 9 Mile, is seeing some major congestion in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. We are in day 30 now of the government shutdown. Some senators, though, starting to express optimism about potentially ending the stalemate soon. Senate Majority Leader John Thune says that bipartisan talks have picked up significantly. Over 40 million Americans, though, may see their food aid come to an end on Saturday if an appropriations bill doesn't get passed very soon.
You're saying he's changed his Thune?
Boo!
You are on it this morning. Wow, this is the second hour.
Go on, David.
President Trump says that he's now reached a deal with China on rare earth minerals used to make consumer electronics. Trump announced the one-year deal after his meeting with Xi Jinping in South Korea yesterday. The deal would also see fentanyl-linked tariffs on China lowered by 10%. And there's big turnout in Mississippi Wednesday for the widow of Charlie Kirk as she paid tribute to her late husband. Erica Kirk spoke at a Turning Point event at the University of Mississippi. She said that her husband worked very hard to reach out to young people. She was also joined by J.D. Vance, who spoke at the event as well.
All right. A.K.A. Ole Miss.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I know.
Do they play football?
They do.
All right, David, thanks so much for the updates. 728 on News Radio 92.3. Hey, if you're buying or selling a home, you want to make sure that you get a good realtor who's going to get you your best price. But you also, I mean, you want to get the deal. Like, you want to get all the way to closing. And I've been talking with Christina Leavenworth the other day. I was talking with her, and I was saying, you know, hey, anything new you want me to tell folks? And she said, you know, actually, the market has gotten a little bit, you know, sluggish and, you know, compared to how it was a couple of years ago, which, of course, I mean, it was super hot a couple of years ago. And she said, you know, homes are selling very, very easily. And now what we're running into is we're seeing a lot of homes that take a little bit more time. But more particularly, people go with other realtors as their first choice. And then that doesn't work. Like, they don't get a home sold after one or two realtors. And then they call us. And she said, actually, I've had a couple of people that have even called with five realtors that they have gone through that they have not gotten a home sold. And then they bring to us. We get the home sold and everybody's happy. But, man, can you imagine? I cannot fathom, let alone, like, two. Like, having to get rid of a realtor and go to a second realtor. Oh, my God. And then to do that again and again, and I mean, that's just unbelievable. So, anyway, you know, go right the first time. Call Christina and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 786-3996. Somebody says, I caught the end of the resurfacing project in Pace. You mentioned where exactly when. Starting imminently. But they're going to resurface all of Highway 90 across the water. So everything from the Escambia River all the way to Woodbine is going to get resurfaced. And I know I know you're not supposed to say profanity on the air. It's okay for you to say it in your car. I know. And I know you're thinking, we just got this done.
Florida?
Yeah, no, but now.
Just had our freedom.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Don't shoot the messenger. It's not my fault. Let's see. Somebody says, I agree with the governor on this one. My English Comp 1 instructor in college could barely speak English. Why in the world was that a thing? Yeah. I can't argue with that.
You're right.
Oh, by the way, not that we're exactly on this topic, but did you see what the dictionary.com word of the year for 2025 is?
No.
6-7.
Oh, no.
Is the word of the year for 2025. Happy day.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump striking deals with his counterpart from China today in South Korea.
President Trump said China has agreed to immediately purchase large quantities of soybeans, which is great news for American farmers. And Trump also said she is willing to curb the export of those harmful Chinese chemicals used to make fentanyl that has ravaged America's shores. As a result, American tariffs on China will be lowered.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson in South Korea. The deals still have to be formally signed. French police placing more suspects in custody in connection to the heist at the Louvre in Paris.
French authorities announcing today 5 more arrests in connection with that robbery, including one they call the prime or main suspect, maybe the ringleader.
Fox's Greg Palcott in London and his Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent earlier telling Fox Business the shutdown is starting to eat into the U.S. economy. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. It is 60 degrees here in Pensacola. Of course, we've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way in just a few minutes. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office made 14 arrests as part of Operation Dark Harvest. Now, this was another operation targeting individuals attempting to solicit children for sex. The charges include traveling to meet a child for sex and using a computer to lure minors. A couple of the men also facing charges related to using a two-way communication device to facilitate a felony. Okaloosa Sheriff Eric Aiden says that their department is committed to combating online child predators. Well, work beginning soon on a $5 million road resurfacing project on Highway 90 from Woodbine Road to the Escambia River Bridge. The Florida Department of Transportation says that work will be mostly done at night. Drivers will probably notice minor traffic shifts and periodic lane closures, mostly after 8 p.m. That work will include resurfacing, stormwater management improvements, new guardrails, signs, and pavement markings. It's scheduled to be ongoing through early 2027. Now, folks have likely noticed rising beef prices in recent years. Local butchers say the increase has been driven by a lack of cattle inventory.
Hamburger meat in particular has, in some cases, doubled. Beef fat has doubled or tripled.
And that's Kevin Green from the butcher shop in Pensacola. He says beef producers had been cutting hours in production at the end of the day. There just wasn't enough cattle to meet demand. Now, Blue Angels Elementary School is hosting its Take a Veteran to School program next week. The school's inviting parents, families, and community members to celebrate the school's strong ties to the military during that program November 7th, when veterans from all branches will be recognized during a parade through the school, where students will line the halls waving American flags and cheering. Following that parade, the school will host a program featuring performances by the school's chorus along with special guest speakers. 7:33, News Radio, 92.3. Tacos Mexicanos on North 12th Avenue in East Hill will be closing its doors permanently at the end of next month. The owner announcing their decision in a Facebook post this week, thanking their loyal customers for the support over the years. The owner says that he's recently moved his family back to Mexico due to his wife's immigration status, which has impacted the business. He came back to Pensacola to assess the situation and decided that continuing operating here would be unfair to customers that believe in him. The restaurant's been a part of the Northwest Florida community since 2015, and again, and they'll be open through the end of November. Now, the Escambia County Public School Foundation hosting its chili cook-off this weekend. That'll happen from noon to 3 p.m. at Fountain Park downtown. Proceeds benefit the Tools for Teachers program, providing free classroom supplies to educators in Escambia County. The event also featuring performances by the bands from Ransom and Bailey Middle Schools. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. I-10 eastbound between, Highway 29 and Pine Forest, seeing some construction delays. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach the I-10 westbound ramp. We're seeing some major delays in that area. Traffic is backed up almost, traffic is backed up almost to Sterling Way. Yeah, Avalon at I-10. Yes, the light is out there, so please just pack your patience with that one. Highway 90 southbound before they repave it. We are seeing some backups that are backing up into Pace right now as you head into Pensacola. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be starting off with chilly temperatures in the 50s, getting into the mid-60s for your highs. Nice and sunny skies for your afternoon with partly cloudy skies through the first part of your afternoon. Heading into the evening, temperatures dropping into the 50s and then 40s overnight. For your Friday, your Halloween forecast starting off chilly in the 40s, temperatures warming near 68 degrees for your afternoon. By Friday, your Halloween evening, temperatures will be dropping into the 50s and then the 40s overnight. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 53 right now with partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Denmark's Novo Nordisk said it has made an unsolicited bid for U.S. drug maker Metsera after Pfizer in September made an offer for the company. Novo said it had offered $56.50 per share in cash for Metsera, while Pfizer last week said it would pay $47.50 per share in cash. President Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping have met face-to-face, emerging from what Trump called an amazing meeting, with an immediate U.S. cut in tariffs on Chinese goods from 57% to 47%. The president said the U.S. is lowering tariffs on China in exchange for Beijing cracking down on the export of chemicals used to produce fentanyl. Google parent Alphabet said it is planning a significant increase in spending next year as it continues to invest in AI infrastructure to meet demand. The company reported its first $100 billion revenue quarter yesterday, beating Wall Street's expectations and Alphabet's third quarter. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Pensacola Hardware has been serving the city's general contractors and tradesmen for 174 years. We very much appreciate our customers and are thankful to be one of the only brick-and-mortar businesses in downtown Pensacola to always offer plenty of free parking. We focus on the commercial construction trades and specialize in architectural and engineer-specified products. Whether you're an engineer, project manager, purchasing agent, or subcontractor, Pensacola Hardware is your best local source for construction supplies and exceptional product knowledge.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Good morning. It's 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we've got Mike Wood on the line. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, what's going on, sir? Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good, good. Great to have you. Seems like not a whole lot of activities have taken place during the last week, but before we get to at least the one or two that we did have, you had wanted to follow up on last week when we were talking about the obligation to render aid under Florida law as a motorist, as a non-motorist, and I think you wanted to clarify some things. Is that right?
Yeah, so part of my job is, a big part of my job is to get information out to the public and to make sure that information is right. And last week I was wrong, and I need to get that straightened out. And we were discussing that if you see someone whose life is in danger, who is clearly, if they don't get help, that they could pass away, simply pass away. And I said that you are required to at least call 911 and get them help. That is incorrect. That's a situation, and I'll tell you where that came from. I remember a few years back there was a case in South Florida. I had to go back and look it up this morning to see exactly when it was. It was in 2017, where a 31-year-old man was drowning in a retention pond, and there were four teenagers recording this and making fun of him with their phones. They let him drown. When he went underwater, they made fun of him, and this made national news. And I remember that case. And I was under the assumption that that's why it made national news, because it was so horrific and that they were charged. They were not charged because it's not against the law. So I just wanted to make sure to fix that. There are a handful of states, though, that have – it's called a bad Samaritan law. Minnesota, Rhode Island, and Vermont have laws imposing a broad duty to rescue, while Hawaii, Washington, and Wisconsin require that you at least call 911. The rest of the states do not have that law, including Florida.
It's an interesting conversation because obviously horrendous cases like that, you can see that that's just absolutely evil and disgusting. There are certain cases where I could see why you might want to protect people from the obligation to call 911 on certain things. So it would be an interesting conversation. But yeah, in following up on that, you and I had talked about that in the intervening week. Now, obviously, if you're involved in a motor vehicle accident, you're obligated to stay around. You're obligated to render aid in that circumstance. But generally speaking, if you see somebody in need, though morally you are obligated and should call 911, there's no legal obligation to it, right?
Yeah, and people like first responders, caregivers, teachers, people like that that have a responsibility to that individual obviously have to make that
right,
call.
Right.
But the rest do not. And you know, fortunately, we don't see a lot of cases like that,
right,
that require that. And most people do the right thing. Almost everybody has a cell phone, and most people will call and get help. So it's not something that comes up very often. And in those states that I mentioned that do require you to call 911, it's just a misdemeanor if you don't, and the penalties are not harsh at all.
And by the way, just the other part of that, the reason you had brought this up was also dealing with if an officer says, hey, help me with this arrest, you are obligated to help. That is the law in Florida. That is true. So we want to make sure that, you know, if people had heard the interview last week, they might have thought, well, is the whole thing? No. That part is definitely, that's definitely the case. Right, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. If an officer asks you for assistance, you must provide that assistance.
Very good. Incidents that you guys have had, there was a car break-in or cars broken into. It's common enough, but is this just opening doors, or is this actually like windows being broken?
No, they're opening doors again, and we've talked about this a bunch of times. This happened in the 1500 block of West Romana, and after we were made aware of it and got these guys, there were four of them. We did recover some property. We also discovered that they actually started their crime spree out in the county off Michigan Avenue, so the Sheriff's Department was involved in that as well. But this is another case of where people are just not locking their cars, and for years and years and years, just please lock your cars, whether it's at your home, your business, your an apartment complex, it doesn't matter. These guys will move on to the next car if your car is locked. So good job on patrol that night. They were able to capture the four guys and recover some property.
I'm gonna ask you a follow-up that you may not have an ability to answer it, and feel free to decline. But so when we lived in Phoenix, within the space of about 4 months or so, both my wife and I got her van and my Accord at the time, the Grand Caravan she had at the time. We both got our cars broken into. Our response was, because we lived like in apartments and there was common parking. And so we both bought clubs and we never had a problem again. My theory on the club, and I had a club until very recently, but my theory on the club was always, I know that's not going to stop a determined thief, but it's going to make a move to the next car if they're trying to steal a car. And Hondas are very popular to be stolen. And now that's not opening a car just to look for, you know, guns or money or things that might be easily grabbed, like is more often the case here. But in your professional opinion, does having a club matter?
Well, it's going to matter if they're wanting to steal the car. But that's not what most of these guys are doing. I mean, right. If you leave the car there on a silver platter with the keys in it or the keys in the console, then, of course, they could steal that vehicle and use it in a crime. But they're mainly wanting to go through and find money, find weapons and things like that that they can use or turn around and sell. But, yeah, if they see a club on the steering wheel, it's going to it'll probably keep the car where it's at, but it's not going to do anything about them rummaging through the car.
And by the way, great note is, just to emphasize, people do steal cars. They're generally not, like, hot-wiring them. They're generally just stealing cars of convenience where the keys are available, right?
Yeah, people are leaving the keys in the console, and I don't understand that. But they do. They do it all the time, and we have to recover these vehicles. And sometimes the vehicles are involved in high-speed pursuits and things like that. And all this would have been prevented if the keys were just taken inside.
Is that more common now that people have the fobs because it's not even a physical key and it's more habitual to leave it in the car?
I don't know if it's more common between fobs and keys, but
okay.
But I can tell you that fobs can be duplicated. They send off a signal, and people, the guys that are really into car thefts are able to intercept that signal, clone that fob, and steal that vehicle.
Okay, because I just, the kind of, I was just suddenly thinking about how the kind of person that maybe leaves the fob on the dash or in the, sidewall or something like that, well, you can't lock the car. Well, yeah, they're not locking the car either. I mean, that's the point. You can't lock it because you're outside.
Right.
And it's inside. Anyway, we're talking to Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for Pensacola Police Department. Hang on for just a second, Mike. We got traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Avalon Boulevard southbound traffic is backed up almost to Sterling Way right now. If you're trying to get on I-10 westbound, you definitely want to take an alternate route like Highway 90. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing about a 12 to 15 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, I wanted to ask you, because the mayor had announced this week that the contract with the VO scooters, the sit-down scooters, is not being renewed, and that's not really a surprise to me, but I know that, like, the Bird scooters had been a public safety and a nuisance, and the VO, the sit-down, we thought maybe we'd solve that problem, but they're going away too. PPD, were you guys involved in any of these conversations as far as incidents or calls or inconvenience or anything?
No, I don't believe we had any part in whether they stay or go with the contract. When the Bird scooters came out, there was initially there were problems with them in traffic and violating traffic laws and that sort of thing. And then we had the same thing with the VO sit-down versions. But as far as being troublesome for the police department, no. So the decision that was made was at a level higher than the police department, and we weren't involved in that decision.
Okay, I was just curious because, obviously I always want to understand the dimensions of any decision that gets made. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know, and I've got one this week, and as all the best ones do, it comes from television. Because there's so much on TV.
I was
watching a show, and it's so ubiquitous, it's so common that until I had thought of it, it didn't even occur to me to ask. But it suddenly seems so implausible. But I want to make sure. That's why I want to ask the expert. So the premise of the show was there was a bank robbery, and the bad guys were inside the bank, and the police got called. And outside of the front door of the bank was this array of, 30 cop cars, 35 officers, all of them, including the ones with their pistols drawn, aiming right at the door of the bank, waiting for a bad guy to come out so that all 35 of them could simultaneously shoot the bad guy. And it suddenly seemed like this doesn't seem very likely to be real life to me. But you tell me, what really would happen in a situation like that? Would everybody just be waiting there for 3 hours with their Glock pointed at the front door?
No. nothing close to that.
Right.
So we have specific ways that we approach banks and other things that could have armed robberies going on. What you don't want to do is show up really quick like that, obvious, and create a hostage situation. So the way we approach would be very disappointing to Hollywood. There's not a big deal going on.
That is a wonderful way to not reveal methods and tactics, which is exactly what you should do, and not reveal them, but also to paint the point that it doesn't paint a very interesting picture the way it would be in real life. But suddenly I saw that and I thought, oh my God, that's so implausible. That can't possibly be real. So, okay. So when you're watching TV, just generally speaking, if it's showing you what cops do, that's not real life.
No, we don't show up with locking up the wheels and going sideways. We don't leave smoking the tires. no, none of that happens. And I know that's disappointing to some, but.
And you don't have one lone wolf maverick lieutenant get out of his car and pull his service weapon and charge in and solve the day? That doesn't happen?
I've never seen that, no.
Except in America.
And, our lieutenants, captains, they're all great, but when you get to that level, you've got things figured out that you don't do things like that anymore.
I got it. Anyway, it just suddenly struck me as so crazy. So thank you for clarifying. The whole world now knows. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, and now everybody's going to sit there and look at these movies and be like, what? But that's fine. That's fine. I'd rather have you know the reality. Mike, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
7:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John, you're so disappointed. You look so disappointed that doesn't actually happen, right?
Well, yeah, because I wanted to go and see it.
Yeah, but now that you think about it, it's like,
well, yeah, that's pretty obvious. Really, not, yeah, but it makes for a great dramatic, scene.
Right. But, like, I have this theory, and I've never really bothered to try to go verify it. I'm sure it's true. My theory is that every profession is misrepresented in TV and movies. I think of I was a teacher for a long time. And you know what I always think when they show classroom scenes, what I always think is, oh, it's not like that. It's never like that. And especially because one of the tropes is sort of the teacher does some pithy 60-second teaching episode and it's real poignant and then they shift scenes. And what I think is, well, there's 49 more minutes in the class. There's a lot
to
go.
What are we going
to
do now?
And just routinely, when I think about the jobs I've held and how those jobs are portrayed in television and how the people who have jobs that I know who have those jobs portrayed in television, it's just never like that. They lie about school, they lie about cops, they lie about firefighters, they lie about doctors and nurses, they lie about lawyers. Like, it's, how a lot of the movies will nowadays have these, consultants to try to get some of the details right. And maybe in some cases they get it better. But like I said, it's just been my longstanding view that basically whatever your knowledge base is of a professional endeavor, if it comes from TV and movies, is false. It is not reliable at all. So there you go. That's my theory. 7:52 on News Radio 92.3.
Except WKRP. That's
that's
radio
that's
for
fair.
You.
That's pretty much 100% accurate. Oh, did you mention the 90 Highway 90 thing in your traffic report? I didn't catch it. That 90 is going to get resurfaced.
Yeah, basically.
I feel like we ought to warn people a lot that what you've gotten used to is not going to stay that way.
No.
For the next 2 years, they're going to be resurfacing after they just finished the construction. And here's a little tease. Enjoy your road. And now back to FDOT. I'm Andrew McKay.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The third annual Fall Worship Festival returns to downtown Pensacola Saturday at Museum Park Plaza. Everyone is invited to enjoy the music, food, fellowship, and fun. Get more at experienceworship.org. St. Anthony of Padua Fall Festival is Sunday from 11 to 3. Check out St. Anthony Church on Facebook for more. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants are backed by over 200 years of combined experience.
We've helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share.
With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs.
And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies to give your business an edge.
Let's make this a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station,
the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, or Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences.
Or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call today to get started. Call Jeff Wayne at 850-262-6000.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
And we build it!
Yes, we can!
Oh, I'm now getting synonyms texted into me about the problems on Avalon and I-10. It's a total cluster. It's snafu'd. It's fubar'd. It's backed up to cyanamid. It's every acronym that you cannot say what the acronym stands for on the air. It's all of them. Somebody else says, Andrew, as a landscape designer, I can tell you that home and garden shows lie a lot about landscaping. And real estate shows. And, yeah, I mean, it's just... all of it, right? Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Avalon Boulevard southbound, starting around Sterling Way, going all the way down to I-10 westbound, that on-ramp. The traffic light is still out due to an earlier accident, and you can use whatever acronym you'd like to use with that traffic situation. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing some delays there, about a 7 to 9 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I got a really thoughtful text in. Somebody said, Andrew, you went out of your way to be uncharitable to Ron DeSantis on his no comment about the Hope Florida Foundation scandal grand jury investigation, to which he said no comment. No comment was the appropriate response, not only because he's probably been called in front of the grand jury, but also because he's just too close to the investigation. You then set that up as a straw man, correct me if it was in a difficult logical fallacy, of what you thought his response was going to be, just so you could ridicule that response. This is what I've meant in the past when I've said that you're far more kind to the other side than you are to our side, Republicans, he means. Have a great rest of the day. And my response was, which to some degree, there's part of that I agree with, but it's precisely because he has been so strident on the other side in denying that anything was going on and in going out of his way to attack like Alex Andrade over this topic, that his no comment becomes significant as a contrast with what he said before. I don't think he got called in front of the grand jury because I don't see how it would involve him. But he might have been. But I also don't think he got called because reporters have been staking out the grand jury courtroom and reporting on people of significance that show up. That's how Alex Andrade got, you know, he testified. So that's how we know that. If he hadn't been so strident the other direction, I wouldn't have said anything about the no comment precisely because you're right. No comment would be the appropriate response if that's all he had said. So, hey, listen, I'll say it again. I'll say it again. I always appreciate people disagreeing with me, criticizing me. How else am I going to find out if I'm wrong? Right? And it's a conversation. You know, feel free to disagree with me all the time. No problem. 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, five more suspects are now in custody in Paris in connection with the recent theft of French crown jewels from the Louvre. They were reportedly caught in coordinated raids around the French capital on Wednesday night. One of those arrested is allegedly one of the four-man team that carried out the theft. Police have not said what connection the other suspects have. President Trump is ordering the Department of War to resume testing of nuclear weapons. In a Truth Social post, he said, due to the testing programs of other nations, he's instructed the department to act on an equal basis.
Nuclear weapons than anybody. We don't do testing. We've halted it many years ago. But with others doing testing, I think it's appropriate that we do also.
And those comments were made aboard Air Force One. Police are still, Andrew, searching for the three lab monkeys that escaped from a transport truck that crashed in Mississippi here earlier this week. Authorities say the vehicle was transporting 21 primates to a research facility when it overturned on I-59 north of Heidelberg, Mississippi. 19 of the monkeys have been recovered, but three are still on the loose.
Well, recovered and put down is my understanding.
Yes. Yeah, they were put down, euthanized on the side of the road. The monkeys were, I believe, all carrying several diseases. And
COVID and herpes. And
dangerous to humans, aggressive.
Yeah, so, which is
not the type of monkey you want in your neighborhood.
Which, yeah, right. Well, I mean, yeah, which is why you, again, want to always follow mom's advice. Don't pet strange, herpes-carrying, aggressive test lab monkeys, right? When you meet them on the side of the road.
Solid advice.
I mean, if they come to your house, absolutely, like trick-or-treating, it's fine. You know, but not on the side of the road, on the golf course, in the parking lot of the Taco Bell. Just listen to mom. Mom, she always guides you the right way.